Okay, we're beginning here by the two dots on the top of Ayin Bet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Ashochet v'nimtzei treifa." At the end of the Mishnah, we have four cases, two of which Rabbi Shimon argues on. There's a shochet v'nimtzei treifa, or a shochet chulin ba'azara. There, Rabbi Shimon says you are patur from arba v'chamisha because that's a shechita she'ina ri'uya. Whereas the Chachamim think that you are chayav arba v'chamisha because that is a shechita. Along with the previous two cases, which is a shochet l'rfua and shochet l'klavim, where everybody agrees that that's a good shechita. So I'm aware of Chavivi Mechuzna, the Rav Ashi. Shma mina, from our Mishnah, you would conclude, ena l'shechita elo b'sof. That shechita only takes place at the final moment, at the completion of the shechita. D'i eshna l'shechita mitchila v'atzof. Because if shechita is a process that has a duration to it, meaning that the shechita is from the time that you start the process of shechita until you complete it, kaven deshachat ba'purta, once you shech the small amount in the animal, asra, you already made it asur, idach, the remainder that you shech, lo demore katavach, you're not shechting the animal that belonged to the individual, the owner, meaning that as a ganav, you're not shechting the animal that you stole, you're now shechting an animal that is asur bahana'a, or has other Yisurim associated with it because of the violation that takes place from the beginning of the Shechita. Now, the reason being, when you're dealing with issues that are specifically associated with Shechita, then obviously they don't take place until you've done the Shechita. So whether you think that Shechita takes place at the final moment of the Shechita process, or whether you think it takes place over a duration of time from the beginning of Shechita to the end, since the Avera that you're talking about is specifically associated with the Shechita, it won't happen until the Shechita is completed. Another thing, when you're dealing with Averot that are not necessarily connected to the Shechita itself, but rather they are issues that have to do with doing a Maise or doing some sort of action on the animal, then those can take place or those happen immediately as you begin the process of Shechita. And so what Rav Chivi Mechazna says, that our Mishnah must believe that ain shechita elo b'sof, because if you believe that shechita starts all the way in the beginning, then for things like shechita tchulin ba'zara, and things like you're shechting et avodah zara, then the moment the shechita begins, then you've already entered into the world of shechita tchulin ba'zara, or if you're shechting et avodah zara, you've already made it asur ba'na'a as soon as you begin the process of shechita. Whereas for the tvicha that is required for ganav v'tavach, we said before that ganav v'tavach, tivacho means that has to be a tvicha shel kulo. That has to be a full tvicha until the shechita is completed. So now, if you believe that ain shechita lo b'sof, then at the same moment the shechita goes effective, which is at that last moment of the shechita, it is a shechita, both for shechita tchulin bazara, as well as the shechita for gnavo utivacho. And so since they happen simultaneously, I can understand why there's a clash between them. For Rabbi Shimon, it's a problem because you have a shechita shein ruya. For the Chachamim, it's fine, you're going to be chayav arba v'chamisha because you shechted an animal that belonged to the baalim that you stole it from. On the other hand, if you believe that there is a shechita mitchila v'atzof, that means that once you start shechting it, once you begin the process of shechita, the animal is already asura when either you're shechting it for avodah zara or you're shechting it chulin bazara, the animal already is no longer belonging to the baalim. It's already now been transformed into a problematic situation because of the beginning of the shechita. Now, as far as the ganav v'tavach, we said that the tvicha won't take place until you completed the tvicha. But by the time you've completed the tvicha, there's no longer an animal that was belonging to the baalim that you are shechting. You're shechting an animal that's asur ba'na'a now, that's chulin bazara. Whatever you're shechting is certainly not the gneva, and therefore you would not be chayav. So that is Rav Chivi Mechozna's diuk out of our Mishnah, that our Mishnah seems to favor the opinion that ain shechita elo b'sof. So fundamentally, what we are saying is that when it comes to something where shechita is integral to the maise aveira or to the thing that you're doing, then the ikar problem only happens once you've completed the whole shechita. On the other hand, if you're talking about something where we care less about the shechita, but more about the ma'aseh, like when you're shecht for avodah zara, then as soon as you begin to shech, then already there's a problem. And similarly with shechita chulin nazara, where we are interested in the shechita, But the beginning of the shechita process also will deem it already chulin bazara. And once that happens, you can't then finish off the shechita and say that I'm shechting the animal that belongs to the ba'alim. Amalei Rav Huna brei de Rava, ki kamechayev ahu perta. Rav Huna brei de Rava basically comes back and says, well, the same way that you think that that small amount drives the isra avodah zara, that small amount also drives the chiyuv of tvicha. So even though there's only a small percentage of the tvicha that was done when it still belonged to the ba'alim, and the remainder was done as if it didn't belong to the ba'alim, nevertheless, that's what the Torah says you're chayav for. Yes, you have to complete the shechita, but the part of the shechita that was there when it still belonged to the ba'alim, that's what generates the chiyuv. Just like with regards to avodah zarah, the beginning of the shechita is what causes the isur and causes the problem. So then you could say that there's shechita mitchila v'atzof. And when you begin the shechita, that beginning of the shechita generates the isur of avodah zarah, generates the isur of chulin v'azarah, but also generates the tvacho. And yes, you'll have to complete the shechita in order for it to be a shechita. But nevertheless, the shechita that is problematic is that beginning portion. Those were points out over here that when Rav Huna brei de Rava tried to answer on behalf of those that say Mishchita Tchilat Sof, and he says, ki kamechayev ahu perta, that you are chayav on that little moment when it happens. And Tosfot says here, Teima, kevin to sofa shchita poselet, since the end of the shchita is what makes it pasul, ein lo litchayev apurta kama, why should he be chayav for the beginning of the shchita, afilu lemandamar yesh the shchita mitchila v'atzof. Even if you believe that shchita starts mitchila v'atzof, it's still, the requirement is still to finish or complete the shchita, and therefore the purta should only be relevant once you've got to the end of the shchita. It shouldn't be relevant in the middle of the shchita. So now, what Tosafot says in the end is an important part of this shchita mitchila v'atzof, which is alma mashmahatam. Tefilu mandamar yishna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. If you believe that shchita is a process that begins and then ends, it takes a duration to happen. Kshi'ira psul be'emtza, if there's a psul that happens in the middle of that shchita, ein tchilat shchita shchita, then the beginning of the shchita retroactively is not a shchita. And therefore here, ve'eshlamar d'hachinami avimatzad k'shulei, you could have asked this question here as well. Abalav hafi mesalik le'shapir. Ravashi pushes it away anyway. But what Tosfot says is that even according to the one who says that there's yesh shchita mitchila atzof, that doesn't mean that if you have a psul that takes place in the middle of the shchita, or something that's problematic in the middle of shchita, that doesn't mean whatever you did before is a shchita. I mean that the failure anywhere along the process makes this a completely failed shchita. It's not like you had shchita and then you stopped having shchita when the psul comes in. No, anytime you have a psul anywhere along that duration, it makes it that it wasn't shchita all the way from the beginning, the mafreya, that it wasn't shchita. And so therefore, over here, when you say, oh, ki kamechayev ahu porta, that on that small amount he's going to be chayav, that doesn't really help you, because in the end, if there's a psul later on, that negates the shchita that you started with. And Tosfot says the Gemara could have asked that question. It didn't, because they had another way to get out of the problem, but that still is an issue here, that even for the one who says mitchila atzof, even if you get a shchita off in the beginning, and then it goes bad in the middle, it ruins whatever you did before. That's not called shchita. And so therefore, this answer is very problematic. And Tosfot says we could have asked that question on this answer. So Amarle Ravashi. So Ravashi says, Rav Huna brei de Rava, lo tidche. He says, don't dismiss the point that Rav Chivi Mechuzna is making, because utivacho kulo be'inan veleka. There is a specific requirement over here by Gnavo Utevacho that you have to shech the whole thing while it still belongs to the owners. And that fails over here. And therefore, Elakasho. His question is a strong question, or his position is a very strong position that our Mishnah is basically saying, in the Shechita Elobisof. Because even though what you're saying makes a lot of sense, which is that if it works for Avodah Zarah, why doesn't it work for Tvicha? The problem is that Tvicha has a different standard or a different requirement, which is that you need a full Shechita. Not just that you complete the Shechita, but that you have a full Shechita that is done while it's still owned by the Ba'alim. That requirement makes it that it can only work when you say, in the Shechita l'basof. It will not work when you say that there is a Shechita mitchila v'ad sof. So, elakasho. So now we're left with a difficulty here. Because according to those that hold, there is shchita mitchila atzof, how they're going to explain the Mishnah. This is what I heard from Rav Gamdan. Rav Kagon, Sheshachat Miktzat Simanim Bachutz, he began the Shechita while he was outside the Azara, V'gamran Bifnim, and he finished them off inside. So therefore, the process of Shechita began before he was in the Azara, and he only finished off the process of the Shechita inside the Azara. Or in essence, what he did was, even for the one who holds that Shechita is mitchilat sof, he simulated a situation in which there is ein Shechita ala basof, because he only finished the Shechita in the Azara, he did not begin the Shechita inside of the Azara. And in so doing so, the Shechita tchul in the Azara happens at the end, just at the same moment that the Chiyuv for Tvacho happens at that moment. And so he's able to then coordinate that the Isser of Chulin Bazara is taking place at the same moment as the Isser of Ganav Vitavach. Tosfot over here raises an issue about the whole concept of Yesh Shchitam Itchila V'Ad Sof, which says, Mimai Techiyev Rachmana Achulin Bazara Vashkut Echutz Lomatzi Mifrach Yesh Tan Shchita Mitchila Tzof Mechi Shachta Purta Asra Vidach Mechatech Afar Ba'almahu. Why is the Gemara even getting involved with the question of Tvicha by Ganav V'Tavach? Why doesn't the Gemara ask a very simple question? If you believe that there is a Shechita Mitchila V'Ad Sof, that means that once you've begun the process of Shechita, like in a case of Chulin Bazara, or a case of Shchut Echutz, already the animal becomes Asur then. That means when you are finishing the Shechita, you're cutting a piece of dirt. It's no longer an animal, it's no longer a process of Shechita, because the animal, whatever you did, ruined it at the beginning of the Shechita. And so therefore, Tosafot says, I'm not sure I understand how you ever have a Shechita of Shechita Mitchila V'Ad Sof, the way that you're phrasing it over here. Forget about Ganav V'Tavach. It should be true in any situation in which the Isur is created immediately, and the Shechita doesn't complete until after you're finished. So if that's the case, then even by Shchut Echutz or Chulin Bazara, you should never be able to be Chayav, according to one who says that Shechita is Mitchila V'Ad Sof. So Tosafot differentiates over here and says something very important. He says, the Kevan de Ein Shem Psul Acher, Elo de Shchut Echutz Levado, since there is no other Psul here besides the Shchut Echutz, Ika de Meimar, de Bechochi Chiev Rachmano. The Torah obligated you in this scenario. But when there's another psul that you're trying to add on, then you could say there's a problem even for the person who says there's tchila v'atzof. Since at the end it's like you're cutting dust or doing something that has nothing at the end. What the Tosafot suggests in the end, it's a very important principle, is that if the Torah tells you that you have to shecht an animal to be in violation of Shechitat Chulin Bazara, then even though the Isur is violated when you begin the process of Shechita, and it becomes Osur Ba'ana then, and it's like Afar then, nevertheless, the Torah said that the way to violate this is to do a Shechita. The definition of Shechita is Mitchila V'Atzof. And therefore you have to do a proper Shechita. Unless you do a proper Shechita, you're not going to be in violation of the Shechita Tchulin Be'Azara, because then you haven't completed the Shechita. Even though the remainder of the Shechita is not a real Shechita anymore, because the animal is like Afar, nevertheless, the Torah prescribed Shechita as the method for being in violation. And so therefore you have to do Shechita in order to be in violation, even though the Isser Hana'ah or the Isser is already created from the moment you start cutting, both by Avodah Zarah, by Shchut Echutz, by Chulin Bazara. So even though the Isser Hana'ah happens immediately, still the Torah says to be Chayav you need a Shechita. But when you're talking about another requirement of Shechita, an outside requirement, then it does have impact. So for instance over here, when you're talking about that they want it to be that it's Ganav V'Tavach, then when you're shechting Shchut Echutz, or you're shechting Chulin Bazara, the fact that it's a good Shechita for Shchut Echutz, or it's a good Shechita to be Chayav for Chulin Bazara, doesn't make it a good Shechita for Toveach, for Ganav V'Tavach. Because as soon as you started the Shechita, you made the animal into Ois animal. If that's the case, then you're not shechting what the Baalim's ownership there, and you fail to complete what is required for Ganav V'Tavach. Now as far as Shchut Echutz, or the Isur of Chulin Bazara, which is the core Isur that you're violating over here, as far as that is concerned, this is the method by which you become Chayav, and you have to do the Shechita, even though, again, the completion of the Shechita is like cutting through a fire. So the Tosfot making that distinction tells you that even though, yesh, the Shechita mitchila atzof, this question exists in every scenario. In all other scenarios, because that's the way you violate the Isur, that is not a problem. But in a case where you're trying to then overlay another Isur on top of it and say that this Shechita is effective for something else, there it is a problem. And that's why the Gemara is challenging over here of the Shechita Mitchila Va'ad Sof. Now, the Gemara says, Ika Demat Ilaha. Some say this whole conversation between Rav Huna Brei the Rava and the question that was raised by Rav Chivi Mechuznan, answered by Rav Ashi, was on another situation, not a diok out of our Mishnah, but on a machloket. The Amar Rabbi Shimon Mishum the Rabbi Levi Saba, Ein l'shchita l'besof. Here we have a machloket about shchita. We have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Levi Saba, that shchita only takes place at that final moment of the shchita. That's when it goes effective. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, yesh lan l'shchita mitchila v'ad sof. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, believes that Shechita is a process, it's a duration. This is a machloket that exists in any situation in which it's not a finite action, or it's not a distinct or discrete action that makes you chayav, because it takes a process. We've spoken about this with regards to bishul on Shabbat. You can speak about it with regards to planting on Shabbat, where you only chayav when it roots after 3 days. You can speak about it with regards to carrying on Shabbat, where you need an akira and an acha, and it's a duration. Anytime you have a duration of violating or an action that requires duration, you have this question. When is it effective? Is it only effective at the last moment when you completed all the requirements, all the prerequisites to be in violation or to accomplish whatever you're trying to accomplish? Or do we say that it's a process? And that process means that all along the way, there is a process over here. Again, it's not just the theoretical question, because as Rashi notes over here, it has a nafkamina. The nafkamina is with regards to Kodashim. In Kodashim, if you have a machshevet psul, that means that you have a machshava chutz lizmano, chutz limkomo. You have a machshevet pigul when you're shechting Kodashim. It can only be that the machshava impacts the animal if you do it during shechita. But when is shechita? If you say shechita is enel basof, then it's only at that last moment of the shechita that your machshava matters. Now then, if you believe that Shechita is a duration, it's a process that begins and goes through the whole process until it reaches the end, then if you have a makshava any way along that continuum, that's a makshavet psul in your Shechita. So it's not just a theoretical makloket about how to define averot or mitzvot that are a process, but it has nafkaminot here because the way that you define Shechita will affect whether your makshava impacts on the Shechita or not. So now, Amar Le Rav Chavivi Mechuzna the Rav Ashi, Le Mekasava Rabbi Yochanan. So from this you would conclude that Rabbi Yochanan believes Chulin Shenishkatu Bazara Lav Doraita. He has to believe that Chulin that is shechted in the Azara is not Mina Torah. And that's problematic, not only because we're going to see in a second what the Gemara says, but as Balei Tosfot point out over here, we know that Rabbi Yochanan says otherwise. Rabbi Yochanan himself says that Chulin Shenishkatu Bazara is Doraita. But his opinion here with regards to Shechita forces us to say that, because otherwise, de'isakadatcha do'oraita, if you think that shechitat chulin bazara is do'oraita, michishachi ba'purta asra. The moment he begins the process of shechita, he made it asur. Idach, when in the completion of the shechita process, lav demara katavach, then he's not shechting that which belongs to the owner, and he would not be chayav here for gneva and tvicha, because he never completed the tvicha while the animal was belonging to the owner itself. So based on that, what Rav Chavivi Mechuzna is trying to show is that if you are hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that there's Yeshchita Mitzchila Batsof, the only way to reconcile that with our Mishnah that says that when you shecht Chulin Bazara, that is also good enough to be Mechayiv Yu Arba V'Chamisha, the only way you can reconcile that is by saying that Shechita and Chulin Bazara is Derabanan, because if it is Derabanan, then you can say that the Rabbanan said that it's only asur once you completed the Shechita. And so the Isur only takes effect then. On the other hand, if you believe it's Doraita, then the Isur, or the moment of Isur, is as soon as you begin the Shechita process. All right, so here, Tosafot discusses a little bit about why there should be a difference between the Rabbanan and Doraita. Tosafot over here says, Mashma. The Avami Rabbanan. What you have to conclude here is that if it was the Rabbanan, Choshiv Demara Shapir, then it would belong to the owner all the way through. That when it comes to Tokrovda Zerah, it must be Asur Bana Doraita. Because we asked before in the Gemara that if you're shochet davar zara, as soon as you shecht a little bit, it transfers the ownership away from the original owner. That shows you that it's an iser d'oraita. But then Tosfos goes back on that and says, maybe not. Miu yesh litchot, the takrov davar zara, afilo asura bahana amin derabanan, chashiv shapir labdi day. It depends on what the Chachamim made in terms of the Isur Hana'ah over here. That the way that the Rabbanan instituted the Isur Hana'ah with regards to Avodah Zarah is that they paralleled it after what would have been a Doraita, and it's an Asur and everything. Whereas by Chulin Bazara, which is only an Isur Drabbanan, we know that if he was Kidesh Bota Isha, it works. I mean that the Isur Hana'ah doesn't necessarily exist over there. And the Chachamim didn't necessarily impose an Isur Hana'ah with the full-fledged Isurim of Isurei Hana'ah, which is, means that it's a zero and you can't do anything with it. Now, the Baal Tosafot would say that everybody agrees, Miu Isur Achila Davi Vade Doraita. So everybody agrees that there's an Isur Achila Doraita. The only argument here is in the Isur Hana'ah. If there's an Isur Hana'ah Mi Doraita, then the Chepza is Asur. And the Chepza is Asur, you can't do anything. It's worthless and you can't do anything with it. On the other hand, if there's only an Isur Hana'ah midrabanan, you can then question what the level of Isur Hana'ah is, and possibly it's only an Isur Gabra. It's only a requirement that the person not get benefit from it, but the Chepet still has monetary worth. And therefore, if an individual is Mekadesh and Isha with it, the item is not Isur Hana'ah midoraita, the Chepza still has value. If the Chepza has value, then you could be Mekadesh and Isha with it. Whereas the Isur Hana'ah is only a restriction on the individual to get benefit from it, not a restriction on the item itself or the value of the item itself. And so therefore, being an Isur Hana'ah d'oraita versus an Isur Hana'ah d'rabanan, either might be fundamentally different because one's an Isur Chepza and one's an Isur Gavra, or it just simply might be that no matter what you think the Isur is, that the Isur d'oraita is all-encompassing, the Isur Hana'ah, whereas the Isur d'rabanan is only a partial Isur Hana'ah. And for whichever one of those reasons, it makes it a lot easier here with regards to ownership to say that the ownership stays with the animal until you finish the Shechita over here. Versus the case d'oraita, once you have that Isur Hana'ah kick in, you have lost any connection to the original owner once that Isur Hana'ah kicks in. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, Ki Kai Mechayev Na Miyahu Purta. So he answers the same way he did before. That why don't we just say that that portion in the beginning, when you shecht it, that's what generates the chiyuv for the tvicha, in the gneva and the tvicha. So then you, at the moment that you make it a surbana, that was also the moment when you did the shechita that made you chayav for gneva v'tvicha. Now, the Tosafot's question will be here again, which is that, why does that matter? Even if you hold that there's shechita mitchila itself, if you have a psul in the middle, that ruins the beginning of the shechita. But the Gemara has a different answer, which is Amalei Rav Ashi, Lo Tidchei, don't dismiss the question, Utvacho Kulo Bainan. The Torah says, instead of Utvach, but rather Tvacho, to tell you that you need to shecht it completely, Veleka, and that is failing over here. Elikasho, so it is a problem for Rabbi Yochanan here. How do we resolve this issue with regards to Rabbi Yochanan? Not only the fact that he can't fit into our Mishnah, but also the fact that he says in other places in Shas that Shechitat Chulin Bazara is Deoraita. The same answer that we saw before. He began the Shechita outside, and he finished the Shechita inside, so therefore he simulated having Shechita Basof. And in doing so, he became Chayav for the Chulin Bazara at the same moment that he finished the Shechita, which also makes him Chayav for Arba'a V'Chamisha. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. He stole with two witnesses witnessing it, and the same two witnesses testified to the fact that he shechted it or he sold it. And then we find out that these witnesses were false witnesses through the fact that other witnesses came along and said, you can't testify in this case because you were with us on that day and you weren't present to testify about this information. The punishment for Edim Zomimim is Kashir Zamam, that they are punished with what they tried to impose or obligate the other party. Over here, they were obligating a party in both Kefel and Arba V'Chamisha, or the Arba V'Chamisha incorporates within it the Kefel, and therefore they have to pay the full four or five times to the party they were trying to wrong. Ganav al pishnaim, v'tavachu machar al pishnaim, machirim. If he stole it with one set of Edim testifying to that fact. And then he shechted it and sold it with another set of Edim testifying to that fact, who are not the original Edim. Elo ve'elo nimtzu zomamim. If both sets of Edim were found to be zomamim, that they were implicated by another set of Edim that says, Imanu ha'itim, you were with us, and therefore you can't testify in this case. Harishonim mishalmim tashlumei kefel. The first set of Edim paid kefel, because that's what they were trying to obligate this individual in. They testified to the fact that he stole. And if their testimony was correct and was verified, the ganav would be chayav kefel. As far as the Arba v'chamisha, they're not involved with that. They only testified about the Gneva. V'achronim mishalmim tashlumei gimel. And the latter group only pay three times. We've mentioned this before. The Gemara views that the four or five times that you're required over here is a combination of three and four times plus the kefel. I mean, it's not incremental to the kefel. It includes the kefel in it. Now, as Rashi states over here, and the Gemara will state it as well, that the hazama here has to take place in the following order. You first have to be mezim the edim that said there was macharo tavach, and then only afterwards be mezim the edim that said there was geneva. Because if it was in the reverse order, and hazama was of the edim that said he stole, the second edim now set of edim are meaningless. The second set of edim can't be mechayim anything without the first set of edim. Because if we ruin the first set of edim, there's no gneva, all the second edim are testifying is that he shechted it or he sold it. Who says he didn't shecht his own animal? Who says he didn't sell his own animal? The only way we know that is because of the first set of edim. So therefore, the order in which this happens has to be that, first of all, the edim that testify about the shechita or the mechira, first they are implicated as edim zomamim, and they're going to have to pay three or four times, which is basically the four or five times minus the kefel. That's what they were trying to obligate here, and that's what they're going to be responsible for. If after that, the original edim that said he stole were made into edim zomamim, then they're going to have to pay kefel, because that's what they obligated him. Nimtzu achronim zomamim, hu mishalem tashlume kefel, v'hei mishalmim tashlume gimel. If the second set of edim are found to be zomamim only, then the ganav has to pay kefel, because the first set of edim that said he's a ganav are still standing, and he's chayav for that gneva kefel. Whereas for the three and four times that would be added on top of that for tibicha mechira, since those edim were found to be edim zomamim, they have to pay him that three or four times, because kasher zamam nasot, that's what they were trying to obligate him. Echad min achronim zomamim, if they find one of the latter set of edim to be an eid zomem, betela edut shnia, then that ruins the second edut, but does nothing more than that. Because in order for edim to be deemed edim zomemim, it has to be that the entirety of the kat, of the group of edim, is implicated as edim zomemim. If only one of them is implicated as an eid zomem, it makes it into an edut psula, but doesn't make them into edim zomemim. So here, if we find that one of the latter edim was an eid zomem, then betela edut. Then that edut falls apart. Now, echad min arishonim zomemim, if we find one of the two edim who testified about the gneva to be an eid zomem, betela kol edut, then not only does it ruin the edut about the gneva, it also ruins the edut of the tvicha u'mechira. Shim ein gneva, ein tvicha ve'en mechira, which was your question. Without any gneva, then the standalone testimony of the tvicha mechira is meaningless. So as soon as you posel the edut of the first set, then the second edim are meaningless in that situation. And so as Rashi says over there, if after that fact, the edei mechira and tvicha were found to be edim zomamim, they wouldn't have to pay. Because they could no longer obligate the party here. They could no longer, their testimony did nothing at this point, because we got rid of the gneva. And since it sits on top of the gneva, as soon as you remove the gneva, the testimony of tvicha and mechira is meaningless. And therefore, if they were found to be edim zomamim at that point, it doesn't matter, it makes no difference, because they would not be able to implicate the ganav, because he wasn't determined to be a ganav. We lost the edut that said he was a ganav. And when he testified about tzvicha mechira, he could be shechting and selling his own item. All right, so now the Gemara says, Itmar, famous machloket here, because this is one of the six items that is included in Yal Kagam, which is Itmar, eid zomem. We're talking about an eid that is found to be an eid zomem. Abaya amar the mafreya hu nifsal, that retroactively he is pasul. Rava amar mikano laba hu nifsal, Rava says he's only prospectively considered to be pasul. Abaya amar the mafreya hu nifsal, Abaya says that retroactively he is pasul. Mahu shaita da asid, from the moment he testified, havalei rasha, He is a liar. He is someone that doesn't tell the truth, testifies falsely. You're not allowed to make a Rasha into an aid. And he's clearly made himself into a Rasha because he's given testimony that has been proven to be false. So if that's the case, if he's an aid sheker, he's a Rasha, and he can't be made into an aid. That means that any testimony from that point forward, I mean, from the moment that he testified falsely, he is already considered to be an aid pasul. And anything he testified about after that point in time is pasul, or he is irrelevant as an aid because he can't testify. The whole institution of Eidim Zomamim is a chidush, because it's really two against two. Why do you listen to these two Eidim and not to those two Eidim? Therefore, you only have from the moment of the chidush and onward. And so therefore, only prospectively is he considered to be Eid Zomeim or a Pasul Eid. For prior to that point in time, he's not implicated as an Eid Pasul. In understanding this machloket between Abaye and Rava, the machloket here between Abaye and Rava seemingly is Abaye's Shita is right. Meaning that's very hard to understand Rava's Shita here, because the violation of testifying falsely is lo taneh berecha eid shaker. And that violation takes place at the time that you testify. So Abaye is right that you become an eid zomeim, or the problem all derives at the moment that you testify. So then why is it that all of a sudden over here we say that Rava says, no, that's not what the case is. So Chaim over here says, the Grach says, that the averat alav, the lo taneh berecha eid shaker, is not posel. That in of itself is not posel, because it's a lav she'ein bo maseh. It's a lav she'ein bo maseh, which you don't get malkot for. In order to be posul eidut, you have to be a rasha. And the definition of a rasha is someone who violates a lav that he would get malkot for. And therefore, since lo taneh berecha eid shaker is a lav she'ein bo maseh that you don't get malkot for, that in of itself can make you into a rasha or into a eid zomeim. So now, all of a sudden, you open up the possibility of where this individual becomes an Eid Zomeim. Rava says that the status of Eid Zomeim is determined by the Beit Din. When the Beit Din paskins that you're an Eid Zomeim, that's when you become an Eid Zomeim. And so for that point forward, you are an Eid Zomeim. Whereas, when it comes to Abaye, Abaye says, yes, that the Beit Din is the one that determines that you're an Eid Zomeim. But when they determined that you're an Eid Zomeim, the Maisa Aveira that took place was back when you testified. And so therefore, when they declare you an Eid Zomeim, you're an Eid Zomeim from the time that you perpetrated the Aveira, by the time that you lied. So what Rabbi Chaim does is take it away from being so obvious what Abaye is saying, which means that Abaye should be right here, that Lo Taneacha Bereacha Eid Shaker is the violation, and certainly you should be Pasul from that moment, and says that that's not what generates the shame Eid Zomeim over here. What generates the shame Eid Zomeim is when Beit Din paskins that this individual is an Eid Zomeim, and therefore now it's open to interpretation. When does that happen? Rava says it only happens when Beit Din declares it, because that's what generates the status of Eid Zomeim. And Abaye says, no, wait, okay, Beit Din can generate the status of Eid Zomeim, but they're generating it based on the Maisa Aveira that took place before, and therefore retroactively you are an Eid Zomeim. And Rav Soloveitchik, that's how layers on top of that, this machloket that we saw here, what is the chiddush of Rava? Rav Soloveitchik brings a chakira to try to help understand this, and that also has implications for Abaye's opinion, which is, Ishlach chor, im ha-mizimim ne'emanim keneged ha-mizimim, ke'edutam hi al-gufan shel edim ha-rishonim, bedome le'edut de-reshiim atem, odilma sh'azama be'etzem hi ke'hachasha ha-maseh, el sh'gzeret ha-katuv, sh'akat ha-shniya ne'emenet achish et ha-rishona. When we say that Eid Zomeim is a chidush, the way that Eid Zomeim works is that the Torah tells us that if two Eidim show up and say about previous Eidim that testified in the case, Imanu Aitem, you were with us at that time, therefore you could not testify in this case, the second set of Eidim are believed. Why is it that the second set of Eidim are believed? Rava says it's a chidush. It's a big chidush. Usually when we have two against two, it's a stalemate. That's called Eidut Mucheshet. And when you have an Eidut Mucheshet, you have a stalemate, and both sets of Eidim are dismissed, or we'll see in a second, maybe even problematic. So why don't we just say here, when they say Imanu Aitem, The Edim that are testifying as to the case are obviously disagreeing with that and saying, we were there. The fact that they're testifying about the case and testifying as to what happened means that they implicitly argue on the fact that these other Edim are saying, Imanu Aitem, that you were with us. They're saying, no, we were there and we're testifying about it. So the question is, what is the Chidush over here? So one possibility is to say that Ein Hachanami, they're arguing about the fact that where they were on that day. One set of Edim says, Imanu Aitem. The other set of Edim who testified said, no, we were there and we can testify. And technically it should be an Edut Mucheshet, but the Gzeret HaKatuv is that when you come afterwards and say, Imanu Aitem, you're given the trump card. You have the ace card and your testimony trumps. And that's the Chidush over here. That even though it's technically just Edut Mucheshet, here in this scenario and in this particular way that it's formulated, that second set of Edim is given precedence. That's the Chidush, which seemingly is the view of the Rambam. And we'll see that the Rambam in many ways connects between Edut Mucheshet and Edut Hazama. He sees them being really a part and parcel of one psul, and just that the difference in the psul is the gzeirat hakatuv, and that really edut mucheshet and an eid zomeim are really in the same place. It's just the gzeirat hakatuv gives the eid zomeim the trump card. On the other hand, the other way to view this, which seemingly is the view of the Tor and the Ramban al Torah and other rishonim, which is that the chidush here is that when we look at this edut or the eid zomeim over here, the Chiddush is the fact that we view their testimony as not being Edut Mucheshet. We don't view it as them arguing about whether you were here on the day that it happened or you weren't here. But rather, we look at it as if two Edim showed up and said, these Edim were Mechalel Shabbat. These Edim are liars. These Edim are Pasul for whatever reason. There, those Edim are believed because of the fact that they are not testifying about the case itself. They're not arguing about the facts of the case. They're coming to testify as to the status of these Edim. That's the Torah's law. The Torah's law is that two Edim are believed in any situation. So if they come along and say you are Mechalel Shabbat, as a defendant, your defense or saying that you didn't isn't enough. You need Edim to testify on your behalf to protect you. So in that case, it's not a Chiddush that the fact that when they come and testify that you Mechalel Shabbat, that you as the defendant now have to come up with another set of Edim to protect yourselves. And what the Chiddush of Eid Zomeim is that when the Edim come and say, Imanu Aitem, that you were with us, they're not arguing about the facts of the case, but rather, they're saying, basically, you as a set of Edim are no good. You're the equivalent of us showing up and saying that you are Mechalel Shabbat, that you are Edim that were found to be liars in other cases. There, the two Edim would be believed. And what we're saying here is that Eid Zomeim has that same status, that it's as if you're testifying about the Edim, and that's the Chiddush over here, is that we don't view it as Edut Mucheshet, but rather we view it as being the equivalent of testimony about the status of the Edim, not about the facts of the case. So that's first of all, Reb Chaim explains that view within Eid Zomeim as to why there's a machloket here between Abai and Rava, and that it's not generated from Lotanei Berecha Eid Shaker. And Rav Soloveitchik, that's how layers on top of that, this machloket that we saw here, what is the chiddush of Rava? What's Rava's chiddush over here in saying that Eid Zomeim is a chiddush? Is the chiddush that even though it's Eidut Mucheshet, that we still give a trump card to the second set of Edim? Or is the chiddush here is that it's not an Eidut Mucheshet, and the chiddush here is that it's treated like a testimony about the status of the Edim and not about the facts of the case? Baalei Tosafot ask over here that there's a machlokin in Cheskat Abatim in Baba Batra when you have two sets of Edim that come and testify and they are Edut Mucheshet. One set of Edim testifies that this individual ate for 3 years on this land. Another set of Edim come along and say that this land belonged to this individual's father and he also ate there for 3 years. So now you have two sets of Edim who are arguing about who was eating on this land for the 3 years. So what the Gemara says is you offset the Edim, each one of them testifies about the 3 years, and the Chazakah is that the set of Edim say that it belonged to this guy's father. So therefore we paskin that the Chazakah goes to the one who has the father, because you have offsetting testimony with regards to the years of Chazakah eating there for 3 years. Rav Chisda says, I don't buy that. He says, B'hadei sadi shakrei lamali. What do I have to do with these lying Edim? It's clear that these Edim are not telling the truth. Someone is lying over here. And therefore, according to Rav Chisda, Edim are psulim. Edim that are muchashot are psulim. Based on that, Tosfot says, I'm not sure what the chiddush of Rava is over here. Right? If edim are psulim anyway, when they're an edut mucheshet, then when edim zomimim come along and they testify, what's the chiddush over here that they're able to be posel the individuals that they're testifying about? Even if it was an edut mucheshet, it'd also be an edut psula according to Rav Chista. So what Tosfot says from that is that the bigger chiddush over here is that the edim zomimim who are testifying are kasher. The fact that the edim are psulim, that's a given. Even when you have them stalemated in a case, they are both not believed. And so therefore, in this case, where one set of edim comes to testify about the other edim, then the ones that they're testifying about for sure pasul, just like it would be an edim mucheshet. The big chiddush is here, the edim that are testifying are not considered to be psulim and that they are ksherim. And so he says, it turns out to be a little strange here, that the chiddush is that the edim that are mezimim are kasher, that's the chiddush, not the fact that the other edim are pasul. That's one way Balei Tosfot explain the chiddush in Rav Chisda. But the more important one is the second way that they explain Rav Chisda, which is, Ish lomar, the Rav Chisda nami avi chiddush nami shenifsalim vadai. V'hai dechoshiv lusadei shakri b'shtei kitei edim enu ela misveka. What the Balei Tosfot say is, the fact that you have edim that are muchashim, that are testifying against each other, and they are now stalemated, that provides us with a sense that somebody is lying over here. But that means that when we're posel those edim, and we say they're pasul misafek, because it's possible one of them is telling the truth and one is not. We just don't know which set of edim. So we are posel both sets of edim misafek. On the other hand, over here, what the chiddush is by eid zomeim is that we are posel them vadai, that they are considered to be full-fledged edim psulim, and we have no safek about whether they are or not edim psulim. That will have impact then if we want to say, okay, these edim are psulim. If they're psulim vadai, then for sure anything they testify about, anything they're involved with is problematic. And if it's only misafek, then you, in all those situations, you're leaving in a safek, and then you have to invoke the principle of chazaka to determine what we do when we have a safek psul in the edim. Then Tosafot asks an interesting thing, and he says that Rav over here says, mikano laba heim nifsalim, that when it comes to edim zomamim, they're only psul in a prospective manner. Yet Rav Chista over there, when he says that the edim are muchashim, he says that not only do we not believe them about the 3 years which they are arguing about, we also do not believe the edim about the fact that they testified that they belonged to this guy's father beforehand. That Tosfot asks, why is that? If we say that it's only mikana laba, it's only prospectively that they are psulim, then why don't we believe those edim with respect to the fact that they say it was his father that owned it? And so Tosfot comes up here with a distinction which is very important. So Tosfot distinguishes in the cases and says this, that when Rova says that prospectively they are psulim, that means that if they testified about something else or some other situation, then we would say that prospectively they are psulim. And in that other situation, we would not be posel them. But within the same scenario or within the same case, he says, Afakav de toch de dibur dami, came into mihai shata kamidzamehu, the pasle, atavicha kamidzum, idzum, agneva lo idzum, lo idzum. So for instance, if one set of edim testified about gneva and the tvicha mechira, and they're found to be edim zomamim with regards to the tvicha, we would believe them with regards to the gneva. Because the gneva is a separate testimony, an independent testimony from the tvicha. And so that even though they testified in one shot about both issues, each one of them could stand independently. And so if that's the case, if we're posel them prospectively because of the tvicha, that there are edim zomamim there, that doesn't mean that we will take away their nemanut with regards to the gneva. On the other hand, where they're testifying about the land and who owns the land, if we find them to be edim shkarim or edim zomamim about the land, then it doesn't matter that we found them to be problematic about the 3 year part and not about the father part, but it's about the land itself that they are psulim. And so therefore they're no longer believed about anything that relates to this land itself. And so because of that, they become edim psulim, even though it's prospective, it ruins anything they said about this particular land or this particular situation because they've lost any nemanut with regards to this particular issue. And so therefore, Tosfot says, you have to check. Whenever we say that, according to Rava, that they are prospectively psulim, what does it allow you to be kasher for? He says it's only if the other item is separable and independent of that which they're found to be edim zomimim about. On the other hand, if what they're found to be edim zomimim about is integrally connected to other testimonies that they made, not only will it ruin their testimony with regards to this, but any other connected testimony will also be made pasul by this. Even though it's only Mikana Nava, we still won't believe them with anything within the purview of this issue itself. Right now, the Gemara continues and says, Ika Damre, Rova Namika Abayi Svirle. The Rova also agrees with Abayi that it's Lamafreya. Damar Lafreya Hu Nifsal, that retroactively the Edim Zoma Mim are problematic. This is the reason that Rava says that we don't do it is Mishum Pseida Lukuchot. We're worried about the buyers or all the transactions that this individual was an aid on. Now you're going to have to unwind all these transactions. That means that buyers, when they go and buy and they get Edim to sign on it, they always have to be worried that these Edim might be found to be Edim Zomim in another case later on, and that's going to ruin all their sale documents. So in order to preserve the liquidity in the market, and to keep sales to be proper sales, the Chachamim said that even though technically they are psulim the mafreya, nevertheless we're going to uphold their edut or their nemanut as edim in these situations of lekuchot or in cases where there's a transference of ownership, because otherwise you're going to create or wreak havoc in the market in the time period between the time they testified and the time period where they're found to be edim zomamim. It could be a year between those two periods of time, and they could be edim on multitude of contracts during that period of time. And that means you're going to have all these transactions that are going to have to be unwound. It's going to be unwieldy, and it's going to make the market difficult because people are not going to want to transact knowing that they have this risk involved. And so therefore, it's a takana because of pseida lukuchot. Now, Tosfot over here points out that Rova, even when he believes mikana lahaba nifsal, that's only true if the document was already available before they became Edim Zomamim. That means that we knew about the document, it was signed, and we had it beforehand. On the other hand, if they pull out the somebody pulls out a document with their signature on it, only after they're found to be Edim Zomamim, even Rova will agree there that it's problematic. Because that means that these people who are now known to be liars, they might have signed falsely on this contract and predated the contract. So the only way that we're going to allow you to uphold contracts retroactively is if the contracts were already available before they became Edim Zomamim, before they were incriminated as liars or Edim Zomamim. Mar says, my binayu, what is the difference between the Shita of Rava that says they're only prospectively psulim versus the Shita that says, no, they are retroactively psulim with the exception of cases of Seidat Lukuchot. So Mar says, the Asidu betray the Chad, betray the Chad. In a case where you have two Edim testifying about one of the Edim, and another two testifying about one of the Edim. Inami, the paslinu begazlanuta. Or, in a case where we say that they are psulim because they are thieves. Bahach lishna de amart, according to the Lashon says, mishum de chidush, since it's a chidush, therefore it's only prospectively, leka, then it doesn't matter over here. Meaning that when you're talking about a case of gazlanuta, when they come along and say that these people are thieves, that's not a chiddush. People can come along and testify about the status of individuals, and two edim are believed. So if they come along and don't say imanu ayitim, but rather they say you are gazlanim, then that's not a chiddush that they are believed. And therefore you would not say they are pasul prospectively, but rather retroactively, because that's not a chiddush. Or, in the case where you have two edim testifying about each one of the parties over here, meaning that there's a set of edim with two individuals, and then you have two Edim come and testify about individual A, and another two Edim come and testify about individual B, each one of them being mezim, that individual. That's two against one. Two against one is not a chiddush in the Torah, and therefore the fact that there's zomamim now is not a chiddush. If that's the case, it should be applicable even limafreya. Whereas, the hach lishna damar mishum stated lukukot, according to Lashon that says the whole point here is to protect the buyers, ika, you need the protection for the buyers, whether it's a case where there's no chidush or there is a chidush, as long as you're ruining the status of these edim, and it's going to go now retroactively, that's going to cause problems for the lukuchot. And in that case, we are going to say that it doesn't apply, or we're not going to apply the psul over here. The Balei Tosafot over here note that you could have brought up a whole bunch of other nafkamit. No, he says, "V'havi matz lemeimar ikminayu l'nyan dinei nefashot l'sori isha l'bala gitin kedushin edut achodesh." Any edut that has no monetary matter in it, that has nothing to do with lukuchot, that would be a nafkamina between them. According to the one who says it's a chidush, then it would only be prospectively that they're pasul, and it wouldn't ruin their testimony with regards to these other matters. On the other hand, according to one who says it's because of pseidat l'kuchot, there's no pseidat l'kuchot in cases of eidut achodesh and all these other testimonies, and therefore over there, their testimony should be problematic, even l'mafreya. So he says, eladokech l'ashkuchay d'ika b'inahu l'inyan mamon. The Gemara is trying to find a case in monetary matters where there's a difference between them, even though there's plenty of other differences that you could have brought up between them. Now, as far as the testimony here, the Balei HaTosafot ask a very difficult question, which is that, mashma lefish yesh shnei mizimim al kol echad ve'echad, since there are two people testifying against each one of the single edim, that they're being mizim, lo havi chidush, says, v'tayma, ma bekach harei trei kemeya. We know that when it comes to kitei edim, it doesn't matter how many edim are in the kat. Once they are determined to be a kat edim, then they are exactly that, one kat edim. So if you have a single group of edim, which is comprised of two individuals, and you have another group of edim, which is comprised of 100 individuals, that 2 versus the 100 is the same as 2 against 2. And the numbers of individuals doesn't change the fact that you have a kat edim. And so what Tosafot asks over here is, I don't understand why having two edim testify about each one of this single edim that they were imanu ayitem, why does that change the status over here? We still have two edim saying we were there and we're testifying about it. And now you have four edim testifying about the fact that they weren't there. Why is four any different than two saying that? And why should that implicate them in this case? And so Tosafot is very bothered by this structure of the Gemara. Tosafot answers the question by saying that the case here is where the two edim who are testifying in the case never saw each other. There is one individual in one window and another individual looking from another window. They were both able to see and testify about what happened, but they weren't able to see each other. Because of that, their testimony now is joined, because they're both testifying about a single event, and they both witnessed the same event. But as far as their ability to protect each other, that doesn't exist, because neither of them saw each other. And so therefore, in terms of their edut, with regards to their location, where they were on that day, they are a single aid. He says, I was in the window, looking and testifying about it. Their testimony with regards to the activity or the event that took place, for that they are classified as two edim. And so what the Balei HaTosafot are saying over here is that edut is comprised of two different components. There's one component of edut, which is that we're testifying about an event. That's number one. The second aspect of edut is that we're testifying about each other, that we were both there. So in a scenario where you come up, and that's what Tosafot basically creates, is a scenario where you can split those two dinim. It's a case where the two witnesses could not see each other, but they could both witness the event. In that case, we have two edim to the event. We do not have two edim about where they were on that day. And therefore, when two edim show up and testify against them, it's really two against one and not two against two, because the other aid cannot corroborate the story of the other individual that he was present. That's the way the Balei HaTosafot explain it. Rashi, on the other hand, over here, explains that the case is here, v'trei lechad, imanu ha'itim, v'trei achrine lechad, deleka chidusha. Because the way that Rashi phrases it over here is that edut, by definition, is individuals coming and testifying to the fact that they saw something or that they witnessed an event. What makes them into a kat edim? What makes them into a single unit of edut is the testimony of the edim that are mizimim. So that means that if two edim come along and say, imanu ha'item, and they group the two together, then that makes them into a kat edim. And now it's one against one, and there's a chiddush over here, because you have one kat versus another kat. Now then, if the edim come along and say about each individual, imanu ha'item, they do not join the two individuals. That means that the two individuals are fine in terms of their edut, their ability to testify here. They are considered to be a single unit for testimony. But as far as their status as a kat edim, that doesn't happen because the edim zomimim that are testifying about them never grant them that status as a kat edim. And since they testify about each one, trei lechad and trei lechad, two against one and two against one, it means that they have split the kat edim. And in splitting the kat edim, they take away that definition, that shame, kat edim. That's why the Rav Soloveitchik explains the way that Rashi is approaching this. in order to answer the problem of Tosafot. Otherwise, Rashi is faced with the same problem of Tosafot. And so he says, Rashi has these two aspects to Edut. One is the testimony about the event. The other one is a Shem Kat Edim. The Shem Kat Edim can only be granted by the Edim Zomimim themselves. And that's determined about how they testify about this group. Do they testify them as a group in general? Or do they testify against them as individuals? And that will determine whether they're a Kat Edim or individuals, and to whether it's a Chiddush or not a Chiddush. The Baalei Tosafot, on the other hand, say, no. The determination of being a Kat Edim is not determined by the Edim Zomimim, but rather by the fact of how they witnessed the event. Did they see each other when they witnessed the event? Or did they see the event independently? That will determine whether they're considered to be one unit for Hazama, or whether they're considered to be individuals with regards to the Hazama. Right now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti, Avad Rav Papa Uvda Kavati D'Rova. Rav Papa paskins like Rava, his Rebbe, and therefore he followed his psak. Rav Ashi Amar Hilchata Kavati D'Abaye. Rav Ashi, who is a Batra, and therefore Hilchi says Alocha is like Abaye. And the Gemara concludes, V'Hilchata Kavati D'Abaye. The Alocha is like Abaye over here because B'Yal Kagam. This is one of the six instances in Shas where we paskin like Abaye. Generally, if a machloket Rav and Abaye, the locha is like Rava and not like Abaye, as long as they're arguing in their own opinions, not when they take on other people's opinions. But when they're arguing within their own opinions, the locha is always like Rava, with the exception of these six cases. And that is Yal Kagam. Over here, Eid Zomeim is one of those six cases. That's the Ayin in Yal Kagam. The Yud is Yeush Shalomidat, which we're going to see in Baba Metziah. Ayin is Eid Zomeim. Lamed is Lechi Omeid Me'elav, a Lechi that stands by itself, which we saw in the Gemara in Iruvin. Kuf, we just saw in the Gemara in Kedushin, which is Kedushim She'enan Misurim Lebi'ah, as to whether they are good Kedushim or not. Gimel is Hamadat Dat Begitin, which is that, do we assume that when it comes to Gitin, that there is an implicit understanding when a person does something, or we can surmise from their activities that they are mean to do something, or they intend for that to be a part and parcel of the Gitin? Do we assume that that's the case? And then Mem is the case of Mumar Lahachis. What is the status of a Mumar Lahachis? And that's a machloket in Sanhedrin between Abaye and Rava. And so in those six cases, we say the loch is like Abaye. And one of these cases here is Eid Zomeim, which is that an Eid Zomeim is Pasul Limafreya. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph.